Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo live on blogtalkradio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hit me up on Twitter at Real, RealMSCLEO. Hello, my dears, and happy Monday to each and every one of you out there within the sound of my voice. I hope everybody had a good weekend. Just a reminder, today is Monday, February the 25th, 2013. It's approximately 2:31 p.m., and we are moving into the apex of the full moon, which is in Virgo today. So to all of my Virgos out there, please, 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 I implore you, be patient with yourself. Be patient with those around you. Be slow to react. Virgos, if we just speak from a general astrological perspective, Virgos are very sensitive souls. They are also very pragmatic souls. So ultimately, when their sensitivities get their bell rung, their practicality doesn't know what to do with all of that, because emotion is anything but practical and rational. So in light of that, we are now our first few days into Mercury's retrograde. And for those of you out there, I had an interesting individual that I know in town who said, you know, well, I was born in a Mercury retrograde, and actually they work quite well for me. So if you are born in a Mercury retrograde, you may have a very different interaction with the vibration that is going on at that time. But bear in mind, I'm asking you all not to abruptly end things. I am asking you not to blindly jump into something. I am asking you one thing and one thing only. Please, please, please be slow to act. Take your time. There is certainly, we're not running a marathon. And I genuinely believe in the old adage that haste can easily make waste, you know? And so if you are pushing ahead, pushing ahead, pushing ahead, and you're not making any leeway, then certainly it needs to be observed as to what you're pushing against and when you're pushing, et cetera, et cetera. So often the analogy of a Mercury retrograde that I like use, or a metaphor, if you would, is swimming against the tide, or breathing and swimming with the tide until you see such time that you can make it to shore safely and without being pulled under. And so that's kind of how I view a Mercury retrograde. I will try and float with the tide. If I see that it's taking a turn that I really wasn't counting on, if I float with it as opposed to swimming feverishly and reactionary against it, then I may lose any ground that I perceived that I may have had. And then I will want to blame it on bad karma. I will want to blame it on actions of another lifetime. Not me personally, but this is often what people will talk about. So when Mercury retrogrades are going on, often people will feel like they have a dark cloud over their head. Everything I do, I can't seem to move forward. It doesn't seem to follow through. Having this knowledge allows you to understand that timing is indeed so much of success. You understand? One lick too soon, one lick too late could shift everything. And so one needs to learn to wait good and well. And these are the words of my grandmother. And that's what, and I never understood what that meant, but she said, learn to wait good and well. So be happy to wait. Be happy to be patient. Don't get testy and aggravated and annoyed and asinine. Be happy to wait. Be joyous in your waiting. And if there is joy in that waiting, if you embrace it, then it doesn't seem nearly as aggravating or nearly as itchy. You know, like you think you can't sit still because you so need to do something. But often waiting is a tool that is far more powerful than we give rise to. So I just wanted to share that with all of you. Also note that my Pisces, sometimes my Leos, my Cancers, can be significantly impacted by this vibration, understanding that Pisces vibration is uber ultra creative. However, it can be uber ultra practical as well. So the seeking or the objective is to find that balance. You understand? And some say, well, you know, I don't have a left brain. I can't do that. Well, surely you can, because it's there for you. It's just a matter if you are making a choice to tap into it. And those of mine that are always on the pragmatic slant, well, then I'm going to encourage you to step a little bit more into the creative vibration so that you, again, like so many of the rest of us, can move and build forward with success at our fingertips. You understand? However you measure success. Now, certainly this full moon governs, any full moon for that matter, is about emotion, and it governs our emotions. But what I have noticed, and I've talked to a few people in my circle that have talked about the heaviness of this full moon, and I have to admit that I agree. Now, we will be on the air and just bringing the show to conclusion when the full moon will be at its apex. And for those of us on the East Coast, it will be 3:26:06 p.m. this afternoon. For those of you in California, it will be 12:26. For those of you in Hawaii, in that area, it will be 9:26. So we are moving through this vibration, and in places like Australia, we are already there, and it is the next day, and the full moon is happening there at whatever time that it is occurring there. I usually anchor my times based on East Coast times because this is where I broadcast from. I can also throw in the GMT from time to time. If you all have universal time, it'll be 9:26. So, and there's a difference of 6 hours if we don't factor in the daylight savings time vibration. So, just wanted to bring you up to speed on how that might be feeling, to relieve some of that tension, to let you know that you're not going crazy. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to play for you. Actually, I'm going to talk to you about how I came to write What If, which is the first release single for my upcoming spoken word CD, Full Moon Madness. So check back with me in two shakes. Dog pack snacks are made by hand in small batches from grade A USDA inspected ingredients. They are licensed by the Florida Department of Agriculture. Dog pack snacks use chicken, not chicken broth. They use apples, not applesauce. Lean meats for high protein, fruits and veggies that have excellent nutritional value. Cocoa tested and approved. Cocoa is the chief tester on board, and she is a divalicious canine. So visit her at www.dogpacksnacks.com. And if you'd like to follow Cocoa and her crew, hit them up on Twitter at dogpacksnacks. Need a little comfort food to satisfy your belly and your soul? Then stop by Mother Earth Coffee and Cafe. Homemade bread pudding, buttermilk pancakes, sweet potato hash browns, and homemade turkey sausage. And I'm just talking about breakfast. Don't forget those yummy turkey burgers and those veggie burgers as well. Stop by 410 2nd Avenue North or give her a call, 561-460-8647. The line is sometimes long, but the meal is always worth the wait. Tell Patty Cleo sent you. All right, my dears, just another quick weather update. Yesterday we broke a record of, I don't know, 88 degrees here in the month of February in Lake Worth, or rather in Palm Beach County. Uh-oh. And today, I have to tell you, it is still quite warm. Last time I checked it, it was, 82 degrees and still climbing. We had some rain over the weekend, which just contributes to the humidity. And this morning when I checked it, we were at 87% humidity. And right now we are currently a warm, sweaty, damp 83 degrees. Now, some of you in colder places are like, Miss Cleo, we would welcome that. I get it. I don't really want the blizzard and the snow. I just would like for it to just go down a little bit. That's all. Because it really is impacting things. The fleas are kicking up. It's all kinds of stuff that are going on. But just to those of you who are in colder weather that would like the warmer weather, I am sending you warm energy and warm love. And could you send me some cool energy this way? Some cool some cool heart? I would appreciate that. All right, look here. As we put out to different folks over the last week or two, we released the first single from my upcoming spoken word CD entitled Full Moon Madness. And the first single is entitled What If? And I thought I might share a little bit of how I came to this piece, and then I'm going to play it for you in its entirety. And if you have something to say, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo. Or you can hit me up, you can dial in and say hello or say hey at 347-826-9597. That's 347-826-9597. I often finish my day just as I speak it in the poem. Late in the evening, I go outside. I have a wonderful backyard that my partner painstakingly loves and nourishes. And it's an amazing retreat from sometimes midday madness right until the evening cool down, you know, when you just try and process the things of the day. And I will go outside often with a shot of rum or a glass of wine and smoke a little something sometimes. And I look up at the stars and I just open up and I let all of those questions come flooding across my mind. And last year when everyone was all a Twitter and all a flutter about the world coming to an end and what the Mayan calendar said and what Nostradamus said, and quite personally, in my opinion, more was misquotation and misinterpretation than anything, because, we are still here. However, things have changed, and you all have heard me speak to that and address that. And in an effort to continue to allow people to go beyond the absolutes that are given to us, you know, perhaps if we can step back from all of the conditioning and programming, we can open ourselves up to the creativity and the possibilities. And so that's what I did one night, and I found myself just kind of moving through and really having quite a good time and being very tickled. No fear. People were afraid at the end of last year. The last 6 months, the world is coming to an end. People are building bunkers, and there was fear. And I just wasn't feeling any of that fear. Even people say, Miss Cleo, what do you think is going to happen? Is the world going to shift? There are going to be tsunamis. And I said, I got to tell you, I'm not feeling all of that drama. I'm not feeling all of that fear. I'm not feeling all of that uncertainty. I am actually very excited about the new changes, about the new book. And so that's kind of the energy that I took and had a really grand time with writing What If. And often for myself personally, when I am speaking my own truth and what I know and what I share with people, it is such a creative, spiritual satisfaction. And so I find that those pieces will come very quickly and they come very organically because for whatever reason, I'm right there. And often I will write a piece for weeks and months before I actually sit down with pen and paper. And I had thought about this particular poem many, many evenings on where would be the focus and how I would deliver and share and paint that picture for you. So without me doing any more chatting and without further ado, I invite you all to listen to the first single released from my upcoming Full Moon Madness, the second half spoken word CD by yours truly. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you want to give me any feedback, it's always welcome. So here we go. What if? At the end of a long day, I like to retreat to the veranda in my backyard, stare up at the sky, gaze at the stars, drink a little wine, smoke a little something sometimes. I open my mind and my heart to all the possibilities. And one night I thought, what if all of this is one crazy experiment? What if there is no heaven and no hell? What if we are not alone? What if dogs come from another planet? What if canines, felines, dolphins, and elephants are a higher intelligence? What if the dinosaurs came here, thrived, and left right before the Egyptians arrived? What if we are a creation of a greater being's imagination? What if the stars in the sky are a grand treasure map to the answers we so intensely seek? What if we are all aliens, hybrids of Venusians, Martians, and Jupiterians, the offspring of a planetary union? What if Earth was a hotbed of free universal love? What if there is an intergalactic travel agency that specializes in the human experience, an all-inclusive holiday? Choose your status, your culture, your geography. Make reservations early to choose your gender and sexuality. Otherwise, it's first come, first serve. And when the life is done, the intergalactic traveler returns home. What if there are stargates, triangles, and portals that allow each and every one of us to move about the universal cabin without care? What if beings from other planets and places in space study us like we study animals? That would certainly explain all the stories about alien abduction. What if when we sleep, we really exist somewhere else? Perhaps a different dimension or a parallel universe. And when we are awake, we exit here, wherever that might be. What if we create every moment we speak? What if time is something man-made of? What if we all have the power to create and heal? What if Scotty really can beat me up? So many possibilities. I sat for a moment without thinking, quietly, and then it occurred to me, what if this is simply part of the journey? And when I return home and you're in the area, stop by for a visit and let's have some fun. You can usually find me hanging out on the seventh rock from the sun. What if? So, what do y'all think? Hit me up on Twitter at REALMSCLEO, Mad Love. Also need to give some serious props, some crazy mad respect to my youth and my collaborator. I am T-Walk on Twitter at I am T-Walk, T-W-A-L-K. T-Walk did two tracks on this CD, and it was an absolute joy to work with this individual. He got me instantly, and his creative ability is bar none. Each one of these tracks, and we did not work in unison. The poetry was written prior, but I gave him a quick synopsis and idea, even as they were being honed and tightened up back in those days. And we worked together last year. So very much so, mad love and respect, because I can't imagine either poem without I Am Tiwak. That's his Twitter handle. So give him some shout out, give him some love, let him know what you think of it. These tracks are wicked. The cat handles business, no farting around. He is serious about his craft and his creativity. So again, mad respect, boss man. All righty. So that's it. So the CD, just so I keep you all posted, we will also be directing traffic as well to conversationswithcleo.com. We will have the track up there, actually the preview up for you all to listen to it. And please stay posted with us, because we will let you know exactly when you will be able to purchase it. Our release is a complete digital download, or digital release, rather. So we will have all of that information available to you. The CD drops on the 30th of March. So, Ms. Cleo, that's not really when regular CDs drop. Well, okay, I hear you. Like I said, my CD will be dropping on March the 30th, 2013, and will be available that day for download. So I appreciate all of you for your advanced energy, your love, your commitment, your celebration of me moving through this. Those of you within the sound of my voice know how important you are to my world, to my life, and to my project, and to all of my listeners. Trust me, I love you all. You all give me energy to continue to be committed to what we are doing. I was saying to someone earlier this morning that activism looks different now, as does just about everything. The shift has happened, and we cannot always be as effective as we once were with picket signs and such, because the Patriot Act and other vibrations can actually make you an enemy of the state. So we have to become smarter. My father used to say, "Uno need to learn how to work smarter, not harder." And so we want all of our efforts to be with forward movement, with the concept and the ideology and the vibration of creativity, because the creativity to the very pertinent building and sowing of seeds right now in 2013 is going to be what continues to move us as a species, a spiritual collective, moving us forward, all right? So, there we are there. So, I'm going to give you all some time. I'm getting some tweets in. I don't know if you all can hear the little bingy bingy bell on my phone. So often, I know my sweet Cece, she will try and leave before the show gets started, but she came inside because I had to turn on the AC. Like I said, it is hot here in South Florida. So, absolutely, we are trying to keep everything rolling here. So if you hear her scratching at the door, I have to wait till the next commercial break, and then I'll let her outside. So it's not like they're scratching inside my studio or anything like that. And you know, my studio is my living room. It's my living room, and it's my great room. You know, so it's kind of that what do they call it, open flow kind of thing. And the living room is to the front of the house. So I sit here at one of these days, I'm gonna tweet you all, or I'm gonna put up a picture of what it looks like, so you have a better sense that I'm sitting right at home, like I tell you all I am, and maybe take a picture of my simple little space and place, so you all can have a visual when you're listening to me laugh and act silly on the air. Wanted to give you guys an update on the street painting festival this weekend. You know, while we had talked about prior on Friday that the it was going to be quite warm and humid, and that can be a little bit tough working on asphalt. Well, here are just some of this was the 19th annual street painting festival. There were 657 artists in teams of 2 to 4 there were 254 in total chalk drawings that were created on the streets of downtown Lake Worth, which are Lake Avenue and Lucerne, and some of the smaller streets jetted off. So it was quite a successful event from all understandings and from all takings. Now, Yamajo, Mother Nature, the Mother Earth, decided that Lake Worth and a few other areas in southern Palm Beach County and northern Palm Beach County were due for some rain. And so there were a number of pieces, had they not anticipated the rain, were not covered by plastic or et cetera. So some people did have to come and do some pretty extensive repairs to the artwork that they had created on Saturday. But if you recall, Saturday was Mercury retrograde. So if you keep and bear that in mind, certainly the smart ones kind of tried to see ahead of themselves and cover it just for any number of purposes. But it did not deter people. People came back out. There were a few that did not return to finish their pieces, but that was the minority, not the majority. And there were some very striking pieces there. There was a piece of a 1940s pinup girl by Joel Yau, that's Y-A-U, of San Rafael, California. We get artists that come from all over for this event. It really is delicious. There was a local young woman by the name of Katie Clark, of Green Acres, and she did an abstract of the third eye, or the eye of Horus. And then there was one that actually made the front page of our local section, and it's quite interesting because there were two groups of artists who used the famous Abbey Road album cover of the Beatles. And one artist by the name of Aislinn Mullen and her artistic partner, Ken Mullen, what they did is they did a painting of the Abbey Road with the vibration of it looking three-dimensional. So in the way that they did it, it actually looks like they are walking. So it is quite creative in the way that they put it all together. So it has that three-dimensional effect. Now, just a little bit up the road, about a block away, there were three artists from the Tampa area, Warren Hill and Andrew and Danielle Keaton, and they created an Abbey Road cover with Star Wars characters, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, and Prince Leia. So there were all manner of artists out on the streets of downtown Lake Worth this weekend. From all that I can see, personally, all of the local businesses were doing quite well. We also had vendors. So the I do believe that the brick and mortar restaurants did see a great deal of activity in the evening times after the street vendors had moved on. But it seems like all did well. We have heard from many of the businesses in the area where they feel that they do better on this one particular weekend than they do during July and August, two solid months, which is during our off season. And we would be less than earnest if we didn't own that Lake Worth. And much of South Florida is a seasonal tourist vibration. But it is so wonderful to see people get excited about such a creative dynamic. You and I both know that in so many ways, people do not, or the people who are in the politics or in the offices where the monies and whatnot get distributed, they clearly have decided to cut programs that encourage creativity and artistic vision in our schools. We have absolutely stepped away from that kind of nuance and that very important key that our children need in order to continue to be innovative, progressive and successful. Now, there was one other event that went on here in downtown West Palm Beach on Sunday. And this, again, as I said, I consider this all of my community, and we should indeed be working together. But what I thought was beautiful was this 7th annual yoga day at the Meyer Amphitheater in downtown West Palm Beach. 2,500 individuals came to reach high and to stretch and to flex on yoga day. And people came with their children's and with their children's, Lord Jesus, with their children and with their families. There's a great picture in the paper of a mom, Stephanie Jenkins of Palm Beach Gardens, and she has her beautiful 13-month-old son Bradley out there while she is in the what they call the downward dog posture. During one of the 17 free, do you hear me, free classes at the 7th annual yoga day. So there are many things that we are doing in smaller groups that are occurring in our communities that are to our benefit. And perhaps not all of them are going to be about profit making, or at least the creating the vibration. And when you create the vibration, then the vendors come and other people will benefit. And so it's not a purpose of solely being about selfish and that bottom line or that bottom dollar. It is about creating vibrations and letting positive things come out of them, the ripple effect, you know. Now, here's what I thought was interesting, and you all will find this as well. And the source of these statistics is the Yoga Journal. 15 million total number of Americans who actually practice yoga. Did you know that? 15 million people in this country, in the United States, practice yoga. 72% are female, which I don't even know how to broach that. The 28% are male. And what you have is 41%, now these are interesting numbers. 41% are the ages between 18 and 34. 41% are ages 35 to 54. And 18% are ages 55 and older. What I love about this and what it does is it presents us with an option. 71% of those 72% female practitioners of yoga are college students, which means that yoga is providing an option to taking a pill, to doing self-medicating with alcohol or with other drugs, anorexia, all of these other ways. They are utilizing yoga by which to navigate their stress, the pressures of college. They are there. We cannot say that they are not. Now, here is what is the bottom line. For those of you who have poo-pooed yoga, those of you who have said, I don't get it, you don't see the benefit, and how can one make any money by teaching yoga, by encouraging yoga, by promoting yoga? $27 billion. Did you hear me? That was two. That was seven. Bringing it to $27 billion, not million. I said it would be $1 billion. Is spent annually in these United States on yoga products. All right, I hope you all heard that statistic. 87% increase on yoga products in the past 5 years. 87% increase. It is becoming an option for people to heal and to serve their bodies, their minds, their souls, their spirits. 20% is the average annual increase in the number of people who practice yoga. So this is not something that is a passing phase. This is something that is very viable. And because we are starting from a very centered place, which is how to improve our bodies, our experiences during this journey, mind, body, and spirit, attend to our chakras. People are opening themselves. Now, is yoga for everybody? No. I myself personally enjoy Tai Chi far more. And so that is what I engage in. But I'm going to take a look as we move forward at all of these methodologies on how to create better daily journey environments for ourselves and talk about the increases. And who knows, perhaps one of these vibrations will be something that speaks to your soul. We're also going to take a look at dancing as a recreation and a way to navigate your stress as well. So we're going to be looking at a few of these. Some of them we've heard of, some of them we don't know about. And this is not about losing weight. This is about tending to the mind, body, and spirit. All right, my dears, we're going to take a quick pause for the cause, and I will be right back. White Apron Catering, elegance, class, and sometimes a little bit of whimsy when you want it done right. Whether it's an intimate dinner for four or a gala for 400, they can meet your every need. The chefs there are wonderfully energetic, and they always have a smile on their face, at least when I visit. Freshness with meticulousness to every detail on that plate. So the next time you want it done right, you want to keep people talking until you have that next party, I want you to pick up that phone and dial White Apron Catering, 561-585-2985, in Lake Worth, 1710 North Dixie Highway, and tell them Cleo sent you. Maybe they'll send me back one of those fabulous chocolate chip cookies. See you around. Have a special event coming up, like a wedding, concert, a big week visiting for a very important corporate meeting, or just a night out on the town with friends. Looking for that right limo service? Then check out Live Limo. 10% off your first service, 5% off when you open a corporate account. You can contact them at 800-557-5154, or if you're local, 561-414-9686. Check them out on Facebook, or you can visit their website at www.livelimousineusa.com. Live Limo, the most reliable luxury transportation service in South Florida. Ask for Carlos or Nadla. Tell them Cleo sends her love. All right, my dears, you know, I wanted to follow up on a brief story I did Friday when I was talking about the histrionics of Black history and how so many times the fact that we do not teach it from a building perspective, and I mean building self-esteem, that we are literally impacting our future generations. And I had spoken to you about a young man who had a 17-year-old boy who took a gun to school, Palm Beach Lakes High, and someone called the police and turned him in. And his response to the police was quite not what they expected, because his response was, I'm kind of glad that somebody turned me in. I'm kind of glad that I got busted because I was going to kill somebody today. And what his basic issue was is that as he came to school, it sounds like he wasn't living in the immediate area where the school was located. And he said somebody kept trying him. Somebody kept sweating him from the area. And he, unfortunately, didn't have any other framework by which to deal with this other than to go and get a gun and to kill this person. And the story that I did on Friday was about a fetish or a ritual in the Congo, in the ancient Congo, known as the invoking of the Nkisi Nkondi. And the Nkisi Nkondi is the ancient vibration and tradition of resolving conflict. And I talked about how the Nkisi Nkondi works. And had we taught this, had we made sure that the history and that the nurturing that we give our Black children in this country, that we give our white, brown, red, and yellow children in this country, for that matter, did not provide this young boy with the fact that there are other ways to resolve conflict, other than picking up a gun and taking someone's life. And I did that story and I was motivated by it because I thought if this young man had had that opportunity, I'm not saying that it's an absolute, that he would have chosen a different path. However, when we don't encourage our children with the legacy, with the stories by which they can feel proud of, by which they can feel emotionally and culturally connected to, we send them out into the world, and not even high school. We send them out into a societal world, a societal vibration, without all the tools that they need in order to navigate that vibration successfully. And there's that word again, because I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about this young man navigating successfully. And now here's the vibration. Even though he is a minor, now he will be charged with all manner of concealed weapon charges. It says here in the paper, he faces multiple weapon possession charges. But even still, he in his own truth was able to speak it by saying, I'm so glad, because here's the deal. Hopefully, this will be enough for him. Hopefully, somebody is going to reach out. Family, friends, teachers, and that we will make a difference in this young man's life, and recognizing that we have an opportunity to make a difference in the child's lives that are not even occurring yet. That we recognize that our history books and the things that we are teaching our youth are not resonating for them. You understand? To teach somebody how to take a test does not teach them anything. And you say, well, Ms. Cleo, that should be happening at home. Well, no, it should be happening on, it's history. You know, you take a history class, it's history. They're not just have to be happening at home. What if the child can go home and say, Mom and Dad, guess what? I want to educate you. I want to share something with you that I think you might not know. And so then we are creating the education. We are keeping it moving. We are educating each other. We are sharing the knowledge. And if we share the knowledge, and so I'm hoping that any of you within the sound of my voice, any teachers that I've got out there, that you say, oh my goodness, let me listen to the show about the Nkisi Nkoni. Google it for all intents and purposes. And say, you know what, if I've got a conflict in my classroom, let me give them an option. Let me give them a different source. Now, I get it, you know, it's got a little voodoo involved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can hone it to be a viable conflict. In your home, if you want to have something like that, that creates a vibration for siblings to resolve something, or for sibling and parent, or child and parent, rather, or sibling and sibling to resolve something, it will create the vibration to give our children another option to resolve conflict, instead of parents cheering their children on while they're fighting in a parking lot and they're YouTube videoing it, or they put it up on YouTube. That absolutely eludes my whole vibration. I don't even understand how they think that that is positive. We cannot continue to send this message. So here is the Nkisi Nkondi. If you even take the idea and want to cultivate it in your home, send me an email, man, info@conversationswithcleo.net, or send me a tweet, or send me an email to the show, because I would love to be able to share that with anyone who is within the sound of my voice. If you have some history, if you are Aboriginal, if you are from New Zealand, if you are a part of the Maori, or even if that's what your legacy comes from, share these things with me. Because I am not saying that the old is new again, but here's the deal. The old is new again. And it worked on so many levels. And that's not to say we have to employ it exactly the way that it was employed in the past. But it gives us a good groundwork. It gives us a good foundation. History has purpose. History gives us pride. History gives us a sense of where we can move forward from. And I said, Ms. Cleo, boy, you are really on a soapbox today. It touched my soul. Because I remember, and I've said this with you all before, when I was in high school a long, long time ago, the first thing that I saw in a history book was an illustration of a slave ship. And there was nothing more. and every other thing that I learned from that history class in a very good school, don't get me wrong, private, Catholic, etc., was always beginning with slavery for the black man in this country. And it didn't feel good. I'm going to tell you right now, it didn't feel good. You understand? Did not feel good. Didn't give me that sense of purpose. But as I became an adult and I started to seek out other knowledge, in addition to the knowledge that my parents were able to provide to me about other things, about Dr. Marcus Garvey, about other vibrations that they were aware of, things that they were committed to, and they were not a part of the norm. And certainly my father was not a conformist. And so much of that rebel kind of vibration came from him. But I also have to give some props to my mom, because she was definitely a businesswoman in a country where she was not native to the country, and she was a businesswoman and she was very effective. So both of my parents showed me exactly what I could do and what I could get done, in spite of or despite the fact that I was black in America. So I never came away with this other concept that I could not do because of the color of my skin. It just meant I was going to have to work a little harder. And as I said earlier, as I've gotten older, I am learning to work a bit smarter. On that note, my dears, we are going to take one more pause for the cause. And when I come back, I am going to answer the desires of some of my listeners out there. Say, Miss Cleo, you aren't sharing any recipes. You're not talking about any cooking. I'm ready for some new recipes. Well, let me tell you something. We are getting ready to do just that. So those of you out there within the sound of my voice who enjoy a good pancake, you understand? And I mean a really good pancake, not the kind that's going to sit like lead in your tummy. And you want that pancake that you know everything that's going into that pancake. I'm going to talk you through my very favorite and my personal recipe for a delicious pancake and share a couple of the variations on how you can make that happen. Boy, we're going to talk about sweet potato pancakes. We'll talk about the very, very traditional buttermilk pancake and what makes all of that happen and makes it taste so good. And then we're going to talk about topping it with some simple fruit and some real, no high fructose corn syrup here, real maple syrup. So hold that thought, and I hope that I made your palate just a little bit watery there, and we'll be right back. Dog Pack Snacks are made by hand in small batches from grade A USDA inspected ingredients. They are licensed by the Florida Department of Agriculture. Dog Pack Snacks use chicken, not chicken broth. They use apples, not applesauce. Lean meats for high protein, fruits and veggies that have excellent nutritional value. Cocoa tested and approved. Cocoa is the chief tester on board, and she is a divalicious canine. So visit her at www.dogpacksnacks.com. And if you'd like to follow Cocoa and her crew, hit them up on Twitter at Dog Pack Snacks. If you are one of those people who is open to alternative medicine and naturopathic healing, then I've got just the place for you. It is West Palm Beach Acupuncture. Dr. Henry Shao, Vice President of the Chinese Association of Acupuncture and a Chinese Tai Chi master with more than 30 years experience. Call Dr. Shao today or visit the office for a free consultation. Each session is $60. Do something nice for your health. He's located at 9100 Belvedere Road, Suite 110, West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. 561-791-9970 or visit his website at www.westpalmbeachacupuncture.com. All right, my dears. As promised, this is Cleo's pancake recipe. No. I'm going to give you the list of ingredients. We're going to post it up on the website, www.conversationswithcleo.com. Give us a minute. We're just about done with the renovation of the website, and I am hoping that you all will genuinely enjoy it. You'll be able to find it under the food and travel tab, all right? Now, you are going to need the following things. You are going to need two whole eggs. You are going to need 1 cup of milk. If you are making buttermilk pancakes, you will then take that 1 cup of buttermilk, all right? You're going to need a 1/4 cup of filtered water. You are going to need approximately 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla. You are going to need 2 tablespoons of unrefined raw sugar. You are going to need 1 teaspoon of sea salt. You are going to, or a coarse sea salt. You are going to need 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, and you will melt that. You will need 1 cup of good flour, all-purpose flour. I recommend highly King Arthur flour. They also do an organic flour, so by all means, they also do a gluten-free flour. So you have options, and you can still use the same recipe. And last but not least, you will need 1 1/8 teaspoons of baking powder and 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda. Now, this basic recipe, if you're looking at a medium-sized pancake, probably about the inside size of a saute pan, a small one, I would imagine you will probably get about 15 to 20 pancakes, you know, out of this recipe. So if you're serving 3 people or 4 people for breakfast, that this basic recipe will leave you with no leftover batter, all right? Now, there is a methodology to this, and some of you may say, McCleo, the other food people tell you to do just the opposite. I just got to tell you, I like it better this way. So what I start out with is I have 2 containers. I have 1 bowl that I am going to take my cup of flour and put it in that bowl. I am going to add my baking powder and my baking soda, as well as 1/2 of my 1 teaspoon of sea salt, all right? And you say, well, Ms. Claire, that's not a lot. Well, sea salt is powerful, so this is why we only need 1 teaspoon. So you're going to add all of that to the flour, and you're going to have that in 1 separate bowl, all right? In a different vessel or a different bowl, it can be a smaller bowl, what you will take is your 2 whole eggs and your 2 tablespoons of unrefined sugar, and you're going to whisk that. You're going to whisk it very well. You want to make sure it's combined. You want to make sure that you have combined that sugar. And you will get a bit of a froth, because I do it with a whisk. I don't do it with a mixer. So an old-fashioned whisk, get a little bit of frothing on the top. Now you are going to add your milk, whether that will be buttermilk or that will be regular whole organic milk. I genuinely recommend that. You get fewer antibodies and all of that other stuff. And then you add to that as well your 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla. You add that and you whisk again. Now, if you are using buttermilk, it is going to be a little bit thicker. That's fine. Don't panic. And then last but not least, you will add your 1/4 cup of water. You say, well, Ms. Cleo, why? Well, water and egg whites work very well together. It makes the pancake slightly lighter, in particular if you are using the buttermilk. Some people like a denser pancake, and I'll address that. If you want a denser one or a bit thicker, you can add an additional 1/2 cup of flour to the basic recipe, all right? And you will certainly see the consistency of your batter. Now, here's where I flip the script, because most often, and I've seen this for years, and I've taken many classes, and the instruction is to add the dry to your wet. And you can do that, certainly, but what I find is I get a much more luxurious, happy batter if I add my wet to the dry. And continually, you know, whisking it in and adding a little bit at a time, I get a much better batter. How do you love that? And then once you've mixed all of that and it's combined, it should not be lumpy. I'm going to tell you, it shouldn't be lumpy. You might have a few lumps in there, but it should not be lumpy. There should be a nice texture to it. It should feel and still maybe a little bit frothy on top. That is your egg whites also working to make a much lighter pancake. And then you take two teaspoons of melted butter. That is cool, and you can just pop it in the microwave. That's fine, in a microwave bowl container, my dears. And then you add the butter and stir it in. You take your skillet or your pan. You know, sorry for the fan, my dear, having a hot flash. I say to put it on a medium high heat. I do not use oil. I use Palm to spray the pan. And if you have a really quite high quality or a cooking olive oil, you can also just brush the pan with the olive oil. Now, if you at all possible, I recommend at all times a good old-fashioned cast iron skillet for a really yummy pancake. It heats more evenly. It's just a beautiful coloring on your pancakes. I like a nicely colored pancake. And you all know the rule. You put your batter there. Your pan has to be hot. You let the bubbles kind of come up. You know what I'm saying? You let them come up. Don't let it dry out. And then you flip your pancake. And then you put it on the plate. Now, if you want to have a variation of this, if you want to add, say, 3/4 cup of boiled and mashed candied yam, Lord Jesus, sweet potato or yam, you understand, because some people call them different things. If you want to add 3/4 cup to your batter, then you have a wonderful... And make sure you don't have a lot of water in the yams. If you boil them, you can also bake them. Some people microwave. That's not my way. But however it is, you want 3/4 cup of mashed yam or mashed sweet potato and just incorporate it into your batter and you have a wonderful sweet potato pancake. You can add a little cinnamon if you choose. You can add a little nutmeg. It is up to you. You can also add that later to your butter. If you want to serve with like a cinnamon butter and make sure that if you're doing that to your butter, you're going to add a little honey, not so much sugar, but a little honey so that you can offset some of the bitterness of the cinnamon. But you have some wonderful options there. If you were just my partner, she loves to top her pancakes, no butter for her because she knows there's butter in the batter. She likes to top her pancakes with some fresh blueberries. Some fresh raspberries, and then she likes to use, and we both like to use, dark amber, 100% pure maple syrup, bar none, fabulous. I also want to note that I use unsalted butter. I used to be a huge fan of just using salted butter all the time, but in the last month or two, I have started to actually use unsalted butter, which kind of allows me an opportunity to control the sodium going into my diet as well as my partner's diet. Now, you can add the fresh fruit to the pancakes. If you want blueberry pancakes, I recommend adding half a cup to 2/3 cup of blueberries, dried and padded. I also recommend using fresh. I know a lot of people will tell you if it's out of season, by all means, you can use frozen. Just make sure that you have strained and drained your fruit. You can use strawberries. You can use raspberries. Again, working with that half a cup to 2/3 cup, because fruit can have a lot of water in it, and add it to your pancakes. And again, it's just a wonderful, delicious fresh taste. You do not need to go out and buy whatever brands are on the shelf that have extra, you know, extra preservatives in it, et cetera, et cetera. So I wish you all good morning and good breakfast, maybe tomorrow, maybe this weekend. You will try this recipe. You can throw in a half a cup of chocolate chips or peanut butter chips if you're into that kind of vibration. Really, you just have to kind of feel your way through it and enjoy. Now, if you want a thinner pancake, you might want to put just a 1/4 cup more of water, and then you'll have what they call a Swedish pancake. All right, my dears, I love you and I appreciate you. I hope you have a most tremendous week, and we'll be back on Wednesday. Hit me up on Twitter in the meantime if you got something to share or you just want to give me a shout out. That's @RealMissCleo, and I'll see you around. Welcome to Conversations with Cleo live on blogtalkradio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hit me up on Twitter at Real, R-E-A-L-M-S-C-L-E-O.